Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. I'm very excited to welcome my guest this week, Jason Friedman. Jason is a former theater nerd, which I love because I'm all about the theater. So that's something on a sideline I want to talk about. So Jason was a former theater nerd who's now a serial entrepreneur and coach dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and small business owners grow and scale their businesses. With a flair for the dramatic and a master of storytelling, Jason has founded and exited 5 successful companies. Now a CEO of CX Formula, he's teaching and coaching businesses how to scale their businesses by flipping the funnel, using the power of their customers, using his proprietary kinetic customer formula. He's also at the helm of Spotlight Brand Services, guiding e-commerce brands to success on Amazon and beyond, and has earned many accolades like Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year and propelled multiple companies to the top of Inc's 5,000 list. You've got a long resume of wonderful things that you've done, Jason. And I know at the heart, it's all about people, right?
You know it. You know it. Thanks for having me on the show, Janice.
Oh, my pleasure. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for being here. And what I love is actually that you were introduced to me through someone who was booking you on podcasts. And when that happens, I get these pitches all the time from people and I read them. Sometimes I'm sure I'm not sure. And sometimes I'm like, look, I've got nothing to lose to meet the person. So I will do an intro call with them before I ever book anybody onto my podcast. Sure. And you and I had an intro call and we never stopped talking. It was like amazing.
Right? That was awesome. Yeah.
Right. So I knew that you were a people person because that's what I am and I can't help it. Right. But I listened to a podcast episode that you had done with the person that introduced us, Jeremy. And it seemed so far removed from what I thought until I talked to you. Okay. So he was digging back into your past about your days as I would say a rock and roll groupie. I'm not sure if that's the right term to use for
roadie,
you.
Roadie, yep.
Roadie, a roadie. That's right. A roadie. So that was a long time ago, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So you're a music person then, obviously. Yes.
I'm music, theater, arts, business, like the whole nine yards. I started in theater, right? The very first exposure I had to it was when I was like 8, 9 years old. And my best friend at the time at summer camp wanted to go audition for the camp play. And so he was nervous to go on his own. So he's like, hey, come with me. And so I went to them to lend some moral support. And I was in the back of the playhouse. He went on stage to sing like Happy Birthday or whatever to audition. And there was this guy in the back, his name was Mark, who looked just like Wolfman Jack, if you know that American DJ.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
He looked just like him. And he was like doing some lighting while they were on stage and like messing with the microphones and building like a set, like a flat.
Yeah.
And I was like just so taken by what he was doing. I just started talking to him. And Billy got into the show and I got onto the stage crew.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Every single year, I just kept doing more and more theater. And I went to school for theater, lighting design specifically, and then I got into like touring with those rock and roll groups. And you know, the whole journey, like I was also a trumpet player as a musician. So I did music and theater like my whole life. And you learn so many interesting things. Like it's that kind of Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off experience. Like you're doing all these things and you're learning all these things. You don't know exactly how they're going to fit together at some point. Yeah. And for me, you know, just like you, it's like I learned that engaging with people is it's a skill. It's an important skill. And some of us have a superpower. Others of us have to work a little harder at it. For me, I had to work a little harder at it. It comes naturally. It seems to come naturally to you. But I just watched people would come in from their crazy busy day or to a rock and roll. They would, for a rock and roll concert, they'd get there hours earlier to get in the mood because they were so excited about the experience they were about to have. They wanted to have it last longer. Imagine if your clients loved you and your business so much that they wanted to everything to last longer. And so they would come and they'd like tailgate and they'd like listen to all the songs they're about to listen to again, just to get excited. And then they come in and they have this amazing experience. They forget about all the problems in the world. They have a standing ovation at the end. And then they want to hang out even longer after the show's over. And they can't help but to tell everyone they know that they were at the concert, that they had this amazing experience. Like, I grew up doing that. I had like that great, and then I did more legit theater. It's the same thing. How, as businesses, can we capture that time, that mind share, that focus, the attention, the time, the investment from all of our customers? It's with storytelling. It's by creating these amazing experiences. And I know you do it as well in your business. We've talked about that. So it's so much fun. So that's my theater story.
Well, and I love it because I guess when I was younger, I would go to concerts, but I'm like, don't get me near all those people. It's too much already. But, and you can tell when you're getting too old for it, when you go to a concert and you come out with a migraine headache, which happened to me the last time I saw Elton John, because we knew a very good friend of mine owned the ticket company and we got really good seats, really close, but they were right near an amp. My God, it was too much. But anyway, that shows how old I am. But let's go to, so I'm looking at your website, CX Formula. That's your baby, your company. And what I'm seeing is a statement that says, give your customers an unmatched experience and watch as you organically build a loyal tribe of customers who are raving, returning, renewing, and recruiting for you. I love that. So tell me how you work with a client, because I mean, obviously we all want referrals. We all want people to talk about their experience with us. And so how do you bring that out in people? Here's the question. The question is, do the people that get it come to you to have you help them build that? Or do they come to you and you teach them that this is what they need to do?
Yeah. Really good question. So, people come to us in our past life, right? Before CX Formula, life before CX Formula. We've been doing the same thing for 20 plus years, 25 years, 26 years. We sold the company that we built to 9 figures in sales. And that's what we did. But we did it as a done for you. People would hire us to do it for them. And I had a non-compete for 5 years. I call it my prison sentence, where I couldn't do what I love doing for 5 years. And when we started CX Formula at the end of 2016, beginning of 2017, we started doing it mostly with small entrepreneurial companies, right? So we used to do it for big Fortune 100s, universities, top tier businesses and smaller business, but primarily the big ones. And it was a done for you. We want to help more people, right? I love entrepreneurs. I love entrepreneurship. I'm a serial entrepreneur. And so for me, like, I'm in the impact phase of my life. I want to help more people because that's what lights me up. When I help people have more success in their business and they're able to create more jobs and all that freedom, I love that. So our model now is more of, we teach you how to do it, or we kind of do it with you through some deep dive workshops. So that's the way we do it now. But people come to us for different reasons. Some like already understand it and they want what we're doing. And that's awesome, right? We can move quickly to executing on it with them. Others come to us with a problem, right? They're spending so much money on ads and whatever, but they're not really scaling. They've kind of plateaued. They have a ceiling that they can't break through. Some of them have chronic refunding problems where people buy their program and then they or their products or services or whatever, and then they hate it. They don't like it. They ask for a refund within a window of refund period. Some of them defect, like they just stop paying on like a payment plan and just disappear and kind of deadbeat out on the business, right?
Don't know why.
Yeah. Some of them they have massive negative social proof issues with people kind of hating on them on social. So there's all sorts of reasons that people kind of come to us. The problem that we see is that they're generally speaking solving the wrong problem in their business, right? They're like, they're trying to solve like, why are my ads not converting? Or why are people getting to a certain point and they're not staying? What they're not focusing on is like, what exactly does success look like for our customers? How do we have our customers have that success repeatedly? What system, what processes do we have in place that virtually guarantee that if someone steps inside and it's the right fit client, that they're going to leave happy, not satisfied, happy, where they want to tell other people about it. That's what we help them do. And so when we talk about the ideal result, it's about customers who rave about their experience, they return to buy more products, they renew their subscriptions and memberships, and they recruit. They actively go out there and grab people and bring them like a sales force to your business because they love what just happened for them and they want more people to have that success.
Yeah.
And so what I see more often than not, the problem is like, what is the success metric? To me, success is that R4, right? The rave, return, renew, and recruit. Not, you know, I was talking to someone about this. They said, well, so if I had a weight loss company and they lost 20 pounds, that's the success. I guarantee that they're going to lose 20 pounds. And I said, that's awesome, but that's not what success is. Success to them is I feel more confident in my body. Like when friends call me to go out to dinner, I'm like excited about picking something out of my wardrobe because it fits me now and I want to go out. In fact, I'm now calling my friends to go out versus when I started, I'm sitting alone with a shovel full of ice cream going in my mouth, watching television on the couch. Right. And when someone calls me to go out, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't tonight. And then I feel bad because I'm not going because I don't feel good about the way I look and I don't have clothes that I can wear. Right. So the result is not the 20 pounds. The 20 pounds is what your system does. And it's awesome. It's the tool or the mechanism that you're using through your process to get that 20 pounds.
Feel.
Right. It's, and it's that feeling at the end. Right. Yeah. And so we teach people how to uncover that, how to deeply understand their customers. We use theater tricks, if you will. Right. So like, for example, like we all talk about avatar, who's our ideal client avatar, right? Or how our ideal client avatars. But we tell them how to get into character as if you were going to be an actor playing your customer on stage. The depth of knowledge that you have to have about them, it's beyond what any of us think about in our normal business. Right. And what I want you to think about is earlier on in their career, before they that customer, before they even got to you, what happened in their life that got them to even be searching for a solution to this problem, got them that problem, got them to be aware of your product or solution? So we do all this deep work to understand that. And that's the story. Like what we do, like we believe, like in theater, the reason that, like, if you came to a theatrical performance or a rock show or anything that we did, it was every audience had the same reaction. They laughed at the same moment. They got gave you a standing ovation at the same moment. That was not accidental. That was intention all the way. It started with an idea and a story that became a script that then got brought to life with characters and interaction and sets, lights, costumes, props, you know, all the things, music, sound effects, whatever. And through that journey, like we rehearsed it over and over again. When there's something that's really important, you choreograph it, you script it out. And so I want people to start out by scripting, what is the ideal customer testimonial? What is the ideal things that they would say, not just, oh, it's amazing. I lost 20 pounds and I feel better. No, tell me the story. Tell me your story. So when you found me, what was happening? What was going through your head? What happened? What did I say? What did I show you? What did I teach? What did I do that got you to have that moment of like wonder, inspiration, or momentum that you said, wow, I want to try this. And then really chronicle that story with juicy words and adjectives as your client. Like if you were looking through their glasses. And when you do that, we call that an ideal customer script. That gives you the whole journey mapped out. Now you can reverse engineer all the things you need to do on your customer's path to make sure that as they're going through it, they're having those moments, they're having those insights, they're having those epiphanies, they're having those breakthroughs. And you're actually reminding them all through that what those memories are. So when they go to share it at the end, it is scripted and it's not an accident. And it's not manipulation because we're genuinely helping them have that experience in a perfect way. And so that's where we start. We start at the end. We script what we want it to be.
What you mean by flipping the funnel?
And we flip the funnel. When we focus on having you have an amazing experience as a customer, those are the stories that we share to get more customers in. They bring other customers in. Right now, all the gurus, everybody out there is teaching how to get more clients, how to get more ads, how to do better ads, how to do better marketing, how to do better launches, how to do better stuff. But they have budgets and resources and teams devoted to that. They have very little budget for client success, if any. Yeah. They haven't even thought about it.
So as well, okay, on that theme, I totally agree with you that we're always hearing about, you know, go out there and find new people. And this is how we recommend that you do that. But what about, like, I teach LinkedIn. What about the 5,000 connections you have on LinkedIn already? What are you doing with them? You know, the clients that are already your raving fans, are you looking after them? Or maybe they're not, but they could be because you're not looking after them enough. So focus more time and energy on the clients, the past clients, the present clients that you already have. Don't be always looking to the future, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have to look to the future to some extent, right? We still have to be feeding the beast, but the best way to feed the beast is by having such a great business that's creating those results. Because this, what you're going to do in your marketing, like if all you did, think about this for a second. Like, so I tell people all the time, like, if you wanted to have like an affiliate program, right? Let's say you're gonna compensate a customer. So you say to a customer, this was amazing. Like, if you love the experience, we'll actually give you a percentage of sales, like, you know, for a referral or, you know, whatever. Okay, that's great. But so people do what you pay them to do. So I'll give you X dollars, you do that. It's an exchange of some sort.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. People do what you pay them to do, but people love doing what you reward and recognize them for doing. So let's say that your marketing, instead of being, I have a great program, I have a great program, I can help you scale your business better than anybody else is doing it because X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What if I tell you the story of Janice? You know, so Janice has a program where she helps people, you know, optimize and upgrade their LinkedIn presence that really helps them build their social presence there and use that as a strategic marketing and sales tool for their business. And so when Janice came to me, she genuinely wanted to help other people. Let me tell you about Janice's process a little bit and what we did. And so what I'm doing is I'm literally selling your business as a case study of how I helped you. Now I'm recognizing you as a badass, as this amazing entrepreneur who has an amazing company, who's doing amazing things out there, and I'm helping to bring more customers into my business. Mm-hmm. That's a better formula because now it's showing the amount of interest, how I'm interested in my clients' results versus being interesting, being that dancing bear, that's me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the magic of flipping the funnel, right? Yes. Now I'm using those stories. And in fact, if I helped you do that and your business really transformed, you would be like, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? Right. And so it's a virtuous cycle or a vicious cycle. You get to choose. If you make them angry and don't help them, it's a vicious cycle. If you help them and support them and sing their praises, it's a virtuous cycle. And that's what you want. You want that momentum to build.
Of course, of course.
The secret is it feels a whole lot better in your business, mm-hmm. a whole lot better when all your clients are feeling great.
Mm-hmm.
And your team is more excited about coming to work when you're having this kind of wins over and over repeatedly. It doesn't get boring. What gets boring is the complaints and the customer service problems and the issues and the defection and the refunds. And my job, instead of being like a customer advocate, becomes a customer refund transaction processor. Like,
right.
I didn't sign up for that, but that's the job right now. So
right.
It's the magic that happens. All the byproducts is super amazing. You will transform your culture inside your company and outside your company when you do this work.
Hi, everyone. Here at Relationships Rule, we are all about the personal touch. Dive into the 10-card gratitude challenge with me. Transform your relationships through the power of simple gestures. Join me and let's spread joy and appreciation one card at a time. You will elevate your connections and your spirits because it's just as much fun to send cards as it is to receive them. Ready to make a lasting impact? Then visit sendoutcards.com/Janice Porter and let's be unforgettable together. So do you have a little story of somebody just recently that you've turned their business around? And
so many, yeah. Like I'll give you a very basic example. So we had a guy come to a workshop, I think it was this past June. So it's a few months back, right? He flew over here from Portugal.
Oh, wow.
He heard about our program. I speak, on stages all over the place. He heard me speaking and whatever. He got here to New Jersey.
Wait, just lay the land for me. So you do a what? An all-day workshop? Or
it's a three-day immersion workshop that we literally teach you all the things you need to know. And we you map your journey. Our coaches support you. Yeah. You're in a room with a few other businesses, you know, that are working on it together. And we share. So it's a very intimate and awesome experience. And what's even more fun about it is there's a meta experience that you're having while you're learning how to do it for your customers. So we're delivering everything that we teach, we're doing. And then we have the kind of what we call meta moments where we take you behind the scenes and show you what we just did so that like you can wow, that was cool onboarding. That was awesome. Like, so like we practice what we preach in our program, right? So anyway, so his name was Ricardo Costa. Shout out to Ricardo. Awesome, awesome human being. And if you're ever in Portugal, he runs this this boat company called Magnífico Douro. It's on the Douro River in like the north, northeast of Portugal. And it's where all the wine country is, where they make all the delicious port wines and things like that. And he has a fleet of boats. Mm-hmm. And he takes you on these tours of these different things. And it's amazing. It's like people have like the most unbelievable vacations of their lives. And he bought this business and years ago when it was falling apart. And he like single-handedly like renovated and transformed the old rickety boats into these like amazing experiences. And he knows the area like so intimately. He knows everybody. And the tours and the tour guides are like incredibly well-trained. And so he's like, we're having more competition. Like people buy a boat, now they're on the river and they're charging less and they're not doing as good a job. They don't get great reviews, but they're still eating into business. Mm-hmm. And he came in and like, as we started to map out his journey, like I asked him like, who exactly is the right customer for you? Like, cause he was so focused on getting as much of the customers, as many of the customers as he could. He wasn't focused on the right customers initially, right? So we started there, who are the right customers? What do they most want? And he has two customers. He works with tour companies that, you know, sub him out just as the boat piece of their tour, bringing people over there. And he has end users, like end customers that just reach out to him. And so he was treating everybody the same and they're not, right? And then within the, you know, direct customers, they're not all the same either. Some people are on honeymoon. Some people are younger kids. It's all over the map. And so we started to get clear on that. And as he started to go through the journey, he's like, wow. He's like, there's so many things we do really well, but there's a lot of things that we do that adds frustration or friction, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And so he started like analyzing it because we walked him through this process. And by the end of that, like it was probably one of the best testimonials I ever had. He gave me this amazing testimonial. But what he said in the room, he's like, Jason, he's like, I've been doing this for many, many years. He's a slightly older gentleman. He's in his 60s, older than me. And then he said, I started this business and I was in love with it. He's like, and along the way, I fell out of love with it to a point where I kind of don't even want to go in every day. He's like, and that's not why I started. And that's when I'm on the boat where I'm with the people, I love it. But there's so much resistance getting on it, whatever. He's like, I am so excited to go home and work on my business and be part of it. Like I see it through a different lens. Yes. Some of the lens I saw in the beginning, but I have even more ideas for my business than I've ever had before. I cannot wait to get home, get my team involved and make this happen. And he's been like slowly but surely employing some of these things and doing these things. And I get a text from him on WhatsApp and he's like, this is amazing. And so I had the good fortune in November, I was in Portugal after he was in the workshop.
Yeah.
He took me out on a boat tour and he kept saying to me, I didn't do enough. I didn't do that. And he did. And he's seen the results. Like people are leaving more reviews online that are 5-star reviews, positive reviews. His tour operators are giving him more options to do more things. Just all the momentum. His team is more excited about what they're doing. And so that's why we do this, right? It's just, it's I hate to say it, it's like textbook, but it is. And some of it is just basic fundamentals, right? Yeah.
Showing that you care.
But you have to systematize it. And you can't assume that when you bring on an employee, like I had one customer, he was an electronics retailer in the Northeast. kind of like a Best Buy, if you will, right? And they had a brand, and he used to say to them, we're the Nordstrom of consumer electronics. We're the Nordstrom, right? Which he was meaning, we're the gold standard. We're the best customer service focused organization. So he brought us in because they were having some problems, and he brought me into a manager's meeting, and I think they had 8 stores or 9 stores at the time. We had about 40 managers and assistant managers in their conference room. And I walked in and was kind of sitting off to the side. At some point he introduced me as like the savior, right? Like the guy that's going to save our business and whatever. And this was when we were doing things for people, right? Back in the old days. Right. And he's like, we're the Nordstrom of consumer electronics, like blah, 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 big rally and cry. And then he introduces me. I get up in the front of the room. I said, I'm really glad to be here. I said, I have a question, just quick show of hands. How many people in this room have ever been in a Nordstrom? Not one hand other than the CEO went up.
Interesting, right?
And so I said to them, I said, who knows what he means? His name was Leon. Yeah. Who knows what Leon means when he says that we're the Nordstrom of consumer electronics? Blank stares in the room. It had no meaning. It had no context. And so like in our businesses, we assume like we have these big ideas and we assume we hire people that they understand what we believe is the level of good customer service, what is a good customer experience, what a result should be. And we're not training them on that, right? We train them on the skills, like how to use the CRM, how to use the phone system, how to email somebody. We don't train them how to be good stewards for a client's success, how to be a good relationship person. And it's an art form that is lost.
Yeah. It's you know what? I woke up in the middle of the night last night with a meme in my head that I was creating for, I posted it this morning on LinkedIn, and all it said, I had to try and remember what I'd said in the middle of the night, but all it was be curious. See, now I've forgotten. Be curious, begin conversations. And what was the third B? And begin conversations and hang on. Now I'm really mad because I can't remember it. Here it is. I got it. Be curious, begin conversations, build relationships. That's it. And that's kind of how I operate. And the rest will come, the rest will come, but you have to care. You have to show an interest in people. You have to start those conversations. You have to engage with people and you have to build trust and in those relationships, right? So I see that. You reminded me also of my Nordstrom story, actually, because of course I'm on the Pacific West Coast.
Yeah, the mothership.
And Nordstrom, by the way, was in Vancouver for 2 years. We had their flagship store in Canada, and then all of a sudden they closed it down. We don't have it anymore. We were so excited when we had Nordstrom. But I was in California staying at my sister's, and I went out to Nordstrom in Woodland Hills Mall or something in the San Fernando Valley. It was a Sunday. I went Sunday morning. I had seen this jacket and I really wanted it, so I bought it. But I was leaving that night to come home. So I brought the jacket home, and I'm packing in the afternoon. And the jacket has one of those tags on it, the electronic tags, which they'd forgotten to take off. I got out of the store. But would I get through security at the airport? Don't know. So I phoned the store and they sent the sales clerk over to my sister's house with the thing to take it off. That's a Nordstrom. That's what they needed to know, right? About Nordstrom.
Yeah, they need to know what it looks like to deliver that service. And what business would take the time to do that?
Nobody cares.
But you're telling this story to thousands of people right now, years later, because it left an imprint, right?
Totally. Yeah.
That was the opportunity to leave those imprints with every customer we have every day of our lives.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Yeah. So like we think about competition, like there's no competition when you behave that way. When that is the experience you create, competition disappears. Right?
There's enough out there for all of us. Is a better mentality, the abundance mentality, but it's true that, people don't all think that way.
So. Listen, I'm all for abundance, but at the end of the day, if we're not thinking about how we deliver greatness, you're going to start feeling scarce, exactly. right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, one of our taglines that we use is, you know, experience dot, 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 your unfair advantage. And I believe that to be true, right? It is your unfair advantage when you focus on that. And, you know, we say experience a lot. I just want to define it for a second. Experience, when I'm talking about it, like the experience for your customers, it's how they feel.
Yes.
Your brand. It's a feeling, right? And it's not the something you do. Like, you actually don't create an experience. What happens, experience is the effect, right? Experience is the sum of all the things you do. So while technically you are creating the experience, what you're doing is you're creating results, success, you're removing frictions, you're creating a positive journey for people so that they genuinely feel great throughout the experience. That is what that experience is. That's what creates like that unique fingerprint that differentiates you from all your competition.
Right.
And I just see so many people, they commoditize their business so in so many ways, in every way, like, you know, the pricing, they lower pricing, they discount, they try and do what everybody else is doing instead of standing out. It's like, you know, it's like there's no benefit in being like the cheapest, second cheapest guy out there, right? So if you can't be the cheapest, there's like, then be the most expensive and deliver on something that that makes the value, right? Yeah.
And then be able to articulate that in such a way that it, sure, believe it. And it's true.
100%. 100%.
So much. I see the passion in you, in what you do. And I love that so much. Before we wrap up though, I want to just sort of sideways a little bit and just ask you a couple of fun questions. So having been in theater and you love the music scene. So and you're on the East Coast. I'm sure you've been to shows on Broadway. Do you prefer plays? Do you prefer musicals? What's your favorite show that you have experienced live?
Oh gosh. You know, I love theater. I love shows. It depends, right? You know, like there's been a bunch of musicals I've been to that were not quite up to snuff. Okay. They kind of feel forced and the story feels a little bit, you know, inauthentic. I've been to plays, you know, I like good theater. I'll leave it at that. Like the format, like sometimes it's like improv is awesome. Like, you know, In the Round is awesome. Musicals are awesome. Like I love theater. Like, you know, Blue Man Group, for example. I love Blue Man Group. I think it's awesome. It's music, theater, you know, whatever.
Are you a movie buff?
I watch movies. I see movies. I don't run to the theater when a new movie comes out usually. My kids. Yeah. Like a superhero movie comes out, we go. But other than that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you a reader or a listener or a video person?
Or a what?
Video.
I am a reader and a listener more than a video person.
Do you still like to hold a book to read, or do you read it on a screen?
It depends. So I love reading when I travel, but carrying the amount of books that I sometimes need with me gets unruly. So I do Kindle a bit. But I actually have like a real Kindle where it's got like the e-paper so that I'm not like looking at the blue on the computer tablet or whatever, which I prefer. But I love real books. I love marking them up. I love dog earing pages. I love coming back to it. I believe that, you know, authors put so much time into their book. And we read them once or kind of once. And I hate it. So like, I love coming back and reading books a second, third time. I take a new thing away. Sometimes it's like I've changed between times I've read it. Sometimes like there's a different thing going on in my life that I hear it a different way. So, and one of the gifts I give to people that are important to me is books that I love that I've marked up and dog-eared, I have an assistant of mine go through and make replicas of that exact book. So we buy multiple copies and we mark them up exactly as mine is. And I send them to people that I know they would benefit from that book. And I maybe even add a couple notes to a couple spots that I think would be helpful for whatever I know is going on in their business. Wow. I send those out to them and they love that. It's so thoughtful and it's fun. It's fun to do. So I use books a lot.
That one I'm puzzled by, because I'm like you, like I like to have my felt pen, my marker, you know, my highlighter there, mostly when I'm reading, obviously, business books or self-help books, those kinds of things. Yep. But if you sent me a book that was already marked up, I'm not sure I'd like that, because that would be,
people have to try it and see.
Yeah, that's really
interesting. Let me know. See, what's cool about it, so like it's not like every page you turn is like, you know, blackened with all sorts of stuff. It's like these are really cool highlighted important things. Like if you look in your Kindle now, you get that same experience. You see what other people have highlighted and whatever. And it's interesting. Like some of those I agree with, some of them I don't agree with. And that's fine. Like hopefully what it sparks is a conversation between us all about stuff. And like, hey, like, so I'll get someone will be like, hey dude, like, why did you like mark this? And I'll be like, let me ask you a question. Like, we'll start this like conversation. He's like, holy crap. I didn't even think of it that way. And I'm like,
And that would be the one thing that I would see, is that it would be an insight into you.
100%, right? It's a way to build deeper relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, if I knew that you were, so I'll give you a great, so one of the books I recommend to everybody, right, is a book called Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. I don't know if you've ever met it. You should definitely grab a copy, or maybe, just maybe, you might get one, right? So, So if you're struggling with pricing, for example, right? So he's a behavioral economist. He looks at, you know, different, you know, patterns and things like that. And he's got these great stories and explanations about it. So one of the case studies in there is about the Economist magazine. And so they do this thing where he shows, like, they did this test where they had the digital version was like $65 and the print version was like $125. And what do you think sold more? The digital or the print?
You'd think the digital.
Right. So the digital did sell more, right?
Yeah.
So it was a significantly increased amount of people. I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, or I'd share them. But then they did another test where they did three options. And so in the second test, they did the digital only for $65, the print only for $125, and the digital and the print for $125.
Oh.
So that wasn't a mistake. The second two were the same. Yeah. What do you think happened at that point? What do you think sold the most?
I think the third option.
Exactly what happened, right? And so why did that happen? You think it's a deal, but the comparison at that point is between the two $125 options. The $65 is already discounted. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So like, let's say that you were struggling with like those kinds of things in your business, which I have a lot of people that come into my world that are, this is a great thing to send them, because it starts to unlock something that like, and he's a masterful writer, and it's, you know, it's just a great book. So like, I would find like reasons why I might send somebody's book. Another great book is Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath. I don't know if you've ever read that, but like, yeah, like it's a great book. So many people that I know, like they talk about the curse of knowledge in that book. And so many people that I know are experts in their field, and they lose sight of like, when customers are coming into their world, they lose sight of really where they are. Like they may have been in touch with them a long time ago, but they don't now. And they're talking way above their head and in different ways, and they're not telling sticky stories and all that. So I might use that book as a way to help, you know, someone and get them unstuck. So people, like, I've never had anyone say, dude, why did you send me this dirty marked up book? I haven't had that experience. You might be my first. We'll see. But like, there's also a cover note that goes with it, like of why I chose this book. And like that, you know, there's,
I love this, here, you know, so. Jason, I can see that your heart is at the forefront of it. And I love it.
People notice that. Right. So, it's just an interesting thing. So, but again, for your business, like, what is it that you think will help people and touch people and show that you're interested in their success? This is just one of my things that I've kind of done and developed over the years. It seems to work really well. And you sent me an amazing gift, right? That was like super awesome and personalized. And like, it was amazing. So, you know, you have your ways. And so like, I just think for all of us, it's like, how do we connect more deeply? And those are very personal one-on-one kind of things. We might have businesses where we can't be as directly one-on-one. That's okay. The question is, how do I deliver that kind of feeling of one-on-one at scale? What could it look like And so the question I like to encourage people to ask is not like, it's like, how could I? Like, just ask the question, how could I? And see what's there. See what you can kind of uncover and just percolate on it a little bit and see what comes.
Love it. I think we need to wrap up because we have gone over time because I love listening to your story.
Sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. I love it. What you have to say, it speaks to me and I hope to my audience in the sense that it's all about the customer experience. It's all about caring about people and showing them that you care. And so if you're not doing that in your business or through your business, then you need to take another look and you need to see what Jason has to offer. So Jason, how can people find you?
Yeah, so you can definitely jump over to the website that you were talking about earlier, cxformula.com. But, Janice, I'd love to do a little special something for your people, if you're cool with that. So I have a really cool PDF that I have put a bunch of time into that is like a really awesome strategy and tactical kind of approach at the same time. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's a little secret. It's a little surprise. But it will take you less than 10 minutes to go through. You can find it at gift.cxformula.com/relationships rule.
Perfect.
And you'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will do that.
Just two favors from anybody that grabs it. Like, please do. Like, I want you to have it. There's no strings attached. You know, it's free. But the only thing I ask is that you, if you download it, please look at it. Don't let it sit on the hard drive and not look at it. Because I think I do that. Like, it's so many of us do it. We download it, we get busy. It's something that will really help you. And I was really selective about what, you can't find this on my website. When you go to CX Farming, you won't find this thing. I'm not sharing it with everybody. I'm sharing it only with, special groups of people that I get to talk to. And it's a killer strategy. I teach this. It's part of my course that I'm giving you. So I know it'll help you. And I think if you give it the 10 minutes, you'll be like, wow, this is cool. And then the second favor is like, if you're moved by it and you decide you're going to use it, send me an email about what you did and how it worked. I'd love, like, literally want to hear how it worked for you. So my email address will be on an email that you get for delivering it. Just reply back and let me know what you think.
That's very generous of you. Thank you, Jason. I look forward to having a look at it myself. Awesome. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your wisdom. And thank you to my audience again for being here. And please, if you like what you heard, remember to leave a review. We all love that. And it helps the algorithms help move my podcast up. And so, of course, that's something that I'm always working on and appreciate. So remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.